I want to talk to you this morning about taking your next step. Taking your next step. Hope that you picked up a fill-in sheet. Follow along with us. This message really is in line with the things I've already shared, but just a little different aspect. We need to keep moving forward in the things of God. The verse I want to share with you, Ephesians 5, verses 11 and then verse 15. I'm reading it from the Amplified Version. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. The admonition from Scripture to live up to what we profess, to be able to walk out the things that we say, to walk the talk. And this admonition is here in Scripture. Obviously, at this time, there may have been those who, he said, you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And he felt the need to say, no, live up to that. Walk according to that. We all know that our experience with the Lord is a walk with the Lord. And we're to walk in the Spirit. A major emphasis from Scripture to walk in the Spirit. And I've said many times, you've heard me say it, many times at the end of a service, I'll say, you need to take your next step. What's your next step in your walk with the Lord? Take your next step. And I've said it many times and, share different aspects of that. But I want to just, as I was thinking about this week, I just thought of the word step, S-T-E-P. And I just jotted down what came to my heart as I thought about what it's needed to take your next step. So follow along with me this morning. Here's the first S, the S of step. Settle your purpose and direction. You need to settle your purpose and direction. And that comes back to the portion of Scripture I already read. If you're a Christian, if you're going to serve God, if you profess to be a Christian, if you come to church, well then, settle that direction and that purpose. If you're going to take your step, what direction are you taking it in? We're all using our energies and efforts every day. We're stepping. You're involved. Unless you're inert and dead all week, you took some steps this week, natural steps. But were your natural steps spiritual steps? What direction were you taking your steps in? And so I would encourage you need to settle your purpose and direction. Don't go off course. Don't proclaim with your mouth, I'm a follower of Jesus. I want his will in my life. And then your steps are over here. I mean, you need to let your steps align with your direction and your purpose that God has for you. Well, how would you find that? Psalm 119, verses 105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I tell you, there's all kinds of philosophies in the world today. All kinds of allures and emphasis, and you can read it. All kinds of different religions, all kinds of different pursuits, from pleasure to achieving this and academic achievement. I mean, there's a 360-degree call upon your life. How do you know which one to take? What is your direction? What is your purpose? There's only one way to settle it, and forever God's word is settled in heaven. It's his word is a light to guide your feet. It's a lamp to your path. It's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It seems simple. The world ignores at its best and mocks at its worst the Word of God, which is the very thing that will establish your going, that your life will have purpose and meaning, that will be fulfilling, that will give you an eternal reward. It's in His Word. And I love coming back, don't want to go back all the time to this revival, but I was listening to an hour-long interview with someone that's very close to it. He wasn't there. In fact, he was supposed to speak at the chapel that day. And he said, maybe it speaks to something. He said, I had to call and cancel, and the other guy took my place. But he said, I'm so glad. But he's very close to all the people. And he was saying there that the Word of God is central. The leader, so it wants the Word of God. The Word of God is read. And repentance was coming out of God's Word. Sometimes we go past that many times. And we just say, you know, give your heart to God, which is so true. Give your heart to God. But you really got to give your heart to God. You can't just say, a prayer, I give my heart to God. Have you given the center and the core of your being to God? When you give your heart to God, there's a repentance. You turn to God. You turn away from sin. You repent. You acknowledge the way I'm living is not right. I know no sense, you know, sort of sugarcoating this and covering it up. Well, God understands. He understands perfectly, and He says there's a judgment that comes upon the sin in our life. You need to turn from sin and turn to God. Now, immediately the thing comes back, you know, but I can't do that. I try. You know what? The thing is, have you turned and set your direction and your purpose towards God? He will empower you to step out. He will empower us to step out if you turn towards Him. I think what many times we do, though, our heart is turned towards sin. And we sort of call over our right shoulder, I'm a Christian. Lord, I'm following You. But our hearts are turned in this direction. We're away from God. We need to repent. It doesn't mean that you can be perfect, you can achieve, you can just live a... No, but you got to set your direction. Turn towards God. Satan will still call and pull you back. It doesn't mean that you won't have a pull. It doesn't mean you need to be empowered by God's Spirit to do what's right. But turn towards God. You've got, when you're going to step out, you've got to set your direction and purpose. You got to just determine, I'm going to serve God. You know, Joshua said it to Israel so much right when they were going to enter into the promised land. And he said, I guess it was the end after they had entered in and he was going off the scene. He said, choose you this day who you will serve. If God be God, serve Him. If Baal be God, serve Him. In other words, choose. Set your course. Are you a Christian? Do you want to serve? That was all part of this gentleman's message. He was saying to him, all these admonitions are here in Scripture and we ignore them. And we need God's presence to do it. If you want to stay after the service and we'll pray that God will empower you and you'll feel His presence to do these things. But you see, you have to turn. And you got to have a desire and a hunger for it. So the very first thing of stepping out, you need to step out into your direction to serve God. It's so simple. It's not hard to turn. It can be difficult in our own strength to walk towards God and to do what's right. But it's not hard to turn your heart from sin and turn it to God. Just turn your heart to God. That's a hunger for God, desire for God, a longing for God. The very first one of those 30 admonitions says to love without hypocrisy. Well, we're so hypocritical many times. We're saying one thing. We say we love, and yet we're not really loving. We love ourselves. We love what we're doing. We love the things of the world. And we just need to turn towards God. You got just set your direction. Say, there's 360 degrees here, but you know what? I'm setting my heart towards God. His word is going to be a lamp that guides my feet and a light to my path. His word, I'm going to be in God's word. I'm going to know what it says. You know, I started doing something this last couple of weeks that I used to do years ago and hadn't done for a while, and that was read one chapter of Proverbs a day. It's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and you can read one chapter a day, and it's a book of wisdom. And I must have read that book, because I used to do this for years. I don't know how many times, dozens and dozens and dozens of times I've read through Proverbs and these things. And I was just reading it again this week, and again, I was just amazed. I get a few verses, and then something would just stand out to me that says, this is what you need to do. It's God's word. We're not in God's word enough. We're not studying it enough. We're not feeding ourselves on God's word. If you want to know the direction and purpose of your life, then align it with God's word. Amen. And turn your direction towards God according to his word. And then knowing that he will help you to walk it out, but turn in the right direction. Turn our hearts towards God. So the very first thing of stepping is you have to step and settle your purpose and direction. Now, I could go into these things at great length. Let me just give you the fill-in. How does this work out in a practical way of what God wants you to do? Well, here's the first one. Ask yourself this. What are my gifts and talents? In other words, what are you good at? Everybody's good at something. Everybody's a 10 at something. What are you good at? You're not good at everything, but there's some things you're good at. What do other people say you're good at? Well, that's the first to determine. What are you good at? Here's the second one. What am I passionate about? What really stirs you? What excites you? What do you think is important? What inspires you? I'm talking about when you settled your heart and your mind, I want God's purpose and direction in my life. So say, what am I good at? And what inspires me? What do I really think is important? And then here's the third question to ask yourself. What can I do that will bring the greatest benefit to God's kingdom? So here's my talents. You know, the concentric circles. You know, there's a circle here, what are you good at? And then there's another circle, what are you passionate about? And they overlap in an area, you know. And then here's the third question. What can I do to bring the greatest benefit to God's kingdom? So what are you good at? What are you passionate about? And what could you do that would bring the greatest benefit to God's kingdom? Where's that third circle? Now there's an area where all three circles overlap. What you're good at, what you're passionate about, and what will bring the greatest benefit to God's kingdom. And here's a corollary from that I have used. Of all my opportunities, what is the one that only I can do? I mean, there's lots of opportunities. You set your mind to serve God. There's things you're good at, and there's things you're inspired about, and you say, all this will bring benefit to kingdom of God. Then, well, what do I do? Well, do the thing that only you can do. In your particular situation, in your setting right now, doesn't mean there's not other people could do that in other areas, but right in the circle you're in, what is the one thing that, you know, really, I'm about the only person that could do that. Well, that's the fourth circle. I tell you, if you want to really zero down what God's will is for your life, what your direction and purpose is, what are you good at? What are you passionate about? What will bring the greatest benefit to God? And what is the thing that really, as you're looking around, I'm about the only person here to do this. That will help you set your direction and your purpose. Here's the second one. Take a step forward every day. The T. Take a step forward every day. You have to just keep walking. You can't go in fits and starts. Comes back to our theme of pressing on, pressing in, pressing through. You just have to keep walking forward every day. Every day, take a step forward. How do I advance on the pathway that God has for me today? Every day. What are you doing today? When you put your head down on your pillow at the end of the day, ask yourself, how did my life benefit the kingdom of God today? In what way? In what capacity? You need to every day go to sleep with a contentment. You know what? I did this. I said that. I served here. I witnessed there. I gave to that person's need. Whatever has come. And see, you can't necessarily program it at the beginning of the day. You're walking in the Spirit. And I tell you, though, if the beginning of the day you commit your way to the Lord, say, Lord, and you've heard me say it about one of our speakers from years and years ago, Maurice Hart, I'd hear him in the morning. He was a guest speaker. He'd get up. I'd hear him praying in the bedroom in our house. He'd say, God, make me a blessing to somebody today. Make me a blessing to somebody today. That's what we need to have. And then see how God leads that out. And I could tell you story after story, just the couple of weeks he was with us, where I traveled with him, and I saw how God did make him a blessing to people in that particular day. Because God wants to use us. But you got to set your direction, your purpose towards God. And you got to say, every day, Lord, I want my life to count for you. Today, Lord, what can I do? What do you want me to do today? So here are some things that can help you along that line. What is immediately before me? So you're sort of lost. You still get up in the morning and say, well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, the thing is, what's right in front of you? And here's the key. Where can I help? How can I help somebody at work, my neighbor, in the church? How can I help? What's right in front of you? You know, we're looking to the ends of the earth. I want God's will for my life. Well, what's his will for you today, right now, in this situation? And you know what the scripture says? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Just look right around you today. Where can you help? What are you good at? What are you passionate about? What will benefit God's kingdom? I've heard about this situation. No one else knows about it, so I'm the only one. Act on that. Take that step that day. Here's the next one. Be wholeheartedly engaged. Be diligent. It said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I mean, you have to be engaged. Enthusiasm makes the difference. You have to be enthusiastic. You have to be engaged. Well, say, well, I'm not enthusiastic. Here's the key. Act enthusiastic. Just engage as if you are, and something happens within you. The excitement rises as you begin to act excited, and you realize, here's how you excite yourself. This is God's opportunity. Hey, I'm only giving a cup of water. That's not much, but I'm giving it in the name of the Lord. And Jesus said, if you give a cup of water in the name of the Lord, you will not lose your reward. You've done something that's benefited the kingdom of God. So you got to just do it with all your heart. Whatever you're doing, go about the day with your antenna up. I wonder what God wants me to do today. How can I bless someone today? And you take a step that day. And then at night, thank the Lord and pray about it. And say, God, you know, I spoke that word to that person. I asked, Lord, you just meet that and water that. Or maybe you follow up. Or maybe you can't follow up. You don't have to. You follow up with your prayers. And you just start doing what God wants you to do. And here's the last one, and it's a real key. Be sure your motivation is to serve. Matthew 20:26. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be great in God's kingdom. The disciples argued about being greatest. I mean, Jesus heard them arguing. I'm greater. I'll be greater. I want to sit next to Jesus. I mean, someone even got their mother to come and lobby for them at Jesus, you know, that my son's. And Jesus, you know, he never condemned the saying, you know, you shouldn't be talking about being great. Never said that. He said, you want to be great? Let me tell you who the greatest is. The servant's the greatest. So if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, and that's a good, oh man, that's a great ambition. Well, then, as you're looking at what you're good at and what you're passionate about and what's in front of you, right here in front of me, how can I serve? How can I serve? How can I benefit someone else? And I love this definition. We might speak about this at another time. The definition of a servant. Being excited about making someone else successful. A true servant is excited about making someone else successful. That's the greatest in the kingdom of God. So every day, at the end of the day, say, have I taken a step forward today to help someone else? Here's the E. Engage the support of others. Engage the support of others. Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Don't be a lone ranger. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. We're not meant to go through life on our own. We are called to a body. We're called to the church. Join a group of people who are on the same path as you are, moving in the same direction you are. We are meant to go in packs. We really are. You're not meant to serve God alone. I've pastored close to 50 years now. I've watched people who are on their own, do things their own, separate themselves from the body of Christ, don't have anyone around them, won't listen to counsel, won't hear anyone. They're very set in their own ways. They go to ruin. They get off the path. They go down some tangents. Sometimes they're still well-meaning, and many times they're still Christians, but they become ineffective. There's a thing going around now. I don't know if you've heard of it, and it's affected some people that I love and care about. But they got in this thing of going, you know, we don't need to meet with other Christians. You know, that's just a construct that we have of getting together. And you know what? That's just meet in your home and pray with your family and serve God. But this whole thing of organized church, and they see all the things that can be wrong with the organized church. But then they sort of give up on it. And they do to their own folly. They really do. The church is God's answer to the world. A group of people who love God, love each other, working together. Does the church have problems? Absolutely. Are people in the church hypocrites? Yes. Are there imperfect people in the church? There's no other kind. There really isn't. Do the leaders of the church, do they ever make mistakes? Absolutely they do. we're all imperfect. We're all walking together, but the scripture says two's better than one. In a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom, there's guidance, there's correction. One of the things I read in Proverbs this week that I had not seen, it said, he that isolates himself, how did the last part go? He who isolates himself, the essence of it was that they just want to hear their own opinion. They don't want anything to contradict what they're wanting. So they isolate themselves. Don't want to hear an opposite opinion. Don't want anyone to speak into my life. You need people to speak into your life. You need to be part of a group of people that love you and care about you. Yes, will they do it imperfectly? Yes, they will. But you know what? It's better that way than just all by yourself out on your own. You're going to go to more, you're going to have more problems on your own than you will being part of a group of people that are imperfect, but they have a heart for God. And they're praying for one another. So engage yourself, engage the support of others. Here's the last one, P. Possess a positive mindset. Possess a positive mindset. You know, I've shared this so many times. In fact, Kay and I were watching old videos from back in the 90s, early 90s of services. And some of them were, I was speaking. And I was thinking to myself, oh, I sort of thought that was a fresh thought. I had that thought back in the 90s. Still working towards it. But I've said so many times, let's get back to my point here. There's enough negatives in life that if you want to and you focus on those things, it'll bring you to discouragement and despair. There's enough stuff in your life. You look at someone else and they seem to be happy and content, and you think, boy, I wish I had their life. Well, if you had their life, you would have the same disappointments and discouragements that you have. It's just that they're not focusing on it. They're not allowing it to affect them. They're not zeroed in on all the negatives. Oh, folks, this is so easy to do. Because the negatives, we feel them emotionally. And so when you feel it emotionally, you tend to, it really tends to, you know, grip your mind and your attention. And so you start thinking about that and you replay it over in your mind. And I've said so many times, and you rewind the tape and you go over it again and say, yeah, that was bad. They should never have done that. That was hurtful. And you emotionally hurt yourself all over again. And you just go into this cycle of despair and get lower and lower. And now your response to everyone is very negative. And you're very sharp. And you're very critical. Because that's what you're thinking about. You've determined this mindset. You put on some lens that you see everything through these lenses. And so you can't break out of it. And so everything's gloomy. You've just got to follow the admonition of Scripture. Listen to what it says. Philippians 4:8. Finally, I mean, here's the final word on it. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The scripture says we're to take every thought into captivity. How many thoughts? Every thought. You know why? Thoughts are not neutral. Thoughts are dangerous to your well-being. you capture things that will harm you so they don't do violence against you. Your thoughts can do damage. They can devour you, destroy you, negative thoughts. You have to take every thought into captivity. And when the thought comes in, grab hold of the thing and put it away in the jail. Say, no, you're not going to have a place in my thoughts. And you begin to think on good things, and you think the best, and you hope the best. It helps you to endure all things. This is the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. You can do these things because you're not thinking about the negatives. Yes, there is enough negatives that could get you down, but you know what? If you start looking at the good things in your life, you'll get encouraged. You'll thank God. Man, thank God for that. And you begin, it's not that you don't see the other things, you're just not focusing on them. It doesn't mean that you don't address the other things. It just means that you're not focusing on it. You overcome evil by dealing with the evil, gripping the evil, grabbing the evil by the neck and wrestling it to the ground and choking it out. That's not what the Bible says. You overcome evil with good. Seeing the goodness of God. Seeing that He's working all things together for good. When you begin to see that, it frees you. And it brings us to the next point. You are not a victim. You are not a victim. But if you think on negative, you'll think your boss victimizes you. Your spouse victimizes you. Your children's just victimizing you. The situation has victimized me. When you're a victim, harm has been done to you that shouldn't have happened. But in God, He's working all things together for good. So even the bad things, the negative things, the things that were done with evil intent, they meant it for evil, but Joseph said, but God meant it for good. You are not a victim. Don't get in a victim mentality. It will steal your praise and your joy and your enthusiasm and your sparkle and your effervescence for God. It will spoil it if you get focusing on, this should never have happened to me. It maybe shouldn't have happened as far as God's ultimate will, but He's going to work it for good. And many times that's a process. But it's almost like I said before, you got to turn towards God and say, God, you're working it for good. I don't understand it. I'm still struggling with this. It's still getting me down. But you turn away from being a victim and you turn to being a victor in God. You haven't moved maybe, but you've turned from being a victim to being a victor. And in the turning, you're opening yourself to a new power, a new horizon, a new light to come onto your heart and your mind. And you begin to think about good things. Listen, nothing you have done, nothing that other people have done to you, nor any other circumstance in your life can steal from you your joy and your peace. Doesn't need to. Doesn't need to steal and undermine your mood or your demeanor or your response. It doesn't derail your purpose. And it won't keep you from fulfilling God's purpose in your life. You just need to know that. That's apparently is the path God's chosen for me. I don't know why this happened to me. It hasn't happened to other people. It's happened to me. So this is the path He set for me. And if this is the path He set for me, I'm taking my next step into it. And I'm going to serve, and I'm going to have a positive mindset, and I'm going to see what God's going to work out of all of this. Here's the next point. Realize that small acts accumulate. Because Satan always says, you're not doing anything. You just gave a cup of water. What's good? No one's even mentioned it. I don't even think they heard it. But you do a small, every day, just do a small thing. Just do a small thing. Just do a small thing. Every day, just live your life. Day after day after day. You know? They accumulate. And after a month or two, when you think about good things and you see how they accumulated, you go, wow, look what the Lord's done. But it was just small steps, small things, an act of kindness here, kind word there, serving someone here, volunteering over here. You're just doing what your hand finds to do. But they accumulate. The Bible talks about a record in heaven that's taken. There's not one good thing you do, kind thing, gracious thing, loving thing that is lost. It's all written in God's book. And you are going to be rewarded. That's another whole series of messages. The rewards that we receive in heaven. Over and over it tells us, because they accumulate. Action brings progress. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Proverbs 18:16. Your gift, your small gift, what you give to someone else, you know, it's making room for you. It's broadening the area where you are. One thing leads to another thing. Make every day a gift to the Lord. Make every day a gift to the Lord. Be good at the end of the day just to say, Lord, all that I thought today, all that I did, you know, Lord, I may have been imperfect and maybe I missed it here and there, but Lord, here's the gift of today. I give it to you, Lord. Today, this day I've lived, I give it to you. I'm walking with you. Here's the gift of this day. I give it into your presence. Do it sincerely. It's amazing. Amazing. Here's your final point. You are rewarded for faithfulness, not your talents. You know, sometimes we look at someone else and say, I can't do anything. Look what they can do. Look what they're accomplishing. Oh, I'm nothing. Oh, I wish I could be like them. I wish I had their personality. I wish I had their ability. I wish I had their talents. I wish they had their drive and so forth. And you belittle what you've done. But just realize, we're all, like the Bible says, some people are 10 talent people, some people are 5 talent people, and some people are just 1 talent. That's okay. God gave them out. But he wants you to come back and say, here's what I've done with my talent. And you just have to be faithful in it. Faithful. Faithful to keep your eyes towards the Lord, not be distracted. Faithful to take your next step. Faithful to engage with other people around you. And just be faithful. Say, God, you're working it all together for good. Let my mind be positive towards you. And you know what? That faithfulness is rewarded. It's not how much you accomplish. It's whether you've been faithful every day in walking with God and taking your next step. 1 Corinthians 4:2 just simply says this, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. No matter what the Lord has put in your hand, no matter what possibility, no matter what opportunity you have today, just be faithful with it. And say, it's small, but I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful in this today. And if we are, we're going to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. You know, when just before the service started today, I was just looking over the congregation. And I felt the Lord just give me a little glimpse of what he sees. And I just saw tremendous potential. Some of you I don't know that well. Others of you I know better. But I just thought, every life here, we're a child of God. What would you do with our life if we just gave it to you? And I just looked over this congregation and I got excited thinking, you know what? What would God do with this group of people if we just all surrendered to the Lord and just said, Lord, here we are, use us this week. And it inspired me to share this message because I thought, you know, this is a powerful message if these people lay hold of it, because they all have talents and abilities. They're all gifted. They just need to be faithful. Do you want to just yield your life to the Lord? Just want to offer it up fresh and anew? Turn. Turn towards the Lord. This is a special message for young people. Don't be distracted by this world. Turn your life to God. Don't miss out what he wants to do in your life. Father, I thank you. We stand here in your presence. We ask, Lord, that we'd have one heart and that one heart would be directed towards you. We want to align ourselves with your purposes. We want to set our direction and our purpose towards you. And Lord, every day we want to take another step forward. We want to be aware there's people around us that's encouraging us and supporting us. And may we do it with enthusiasm and with joy and a positive attitude and excitement in our heart. Lord, I can't do this, but you can. And so, Lord, just grant each person here in this service to respond. And right now, just open their heart to you and to turn to you and confess and repent. And that they just take their next step, whatever it is. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let it be, Lord.